You know, so often when ministers present a message, it's usually about male characters that are found in the Bible, whether it's Peter or Paul or Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. But it's important to realize that there were some significant women in Scripture that must be examined, because if they're not preached about, then therefore we're missing a big part of the biblical narrative. And so this morning I'd like to begin a series of messages on this woman called Ruth. And so there are many lessons that we can glean from the text that Barbara just read. Now remember, these events took place over 3,000 years ago. However, I believe they still have relevance 3,000 years later in 2021. There are some major themes that run throughout the four chapters of this book of Ruth that will both challenge us and encourage us at the same time. So we begin with chapter 1. One of the beautiful truths that I took from this text is how God is faithful. He was faithful in the day of Ruth, and he will be faithful today in our time. And to be more specific, how God is especially faithful during difficult times, when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a serious challenge in our lives. And so we begin with trying times in the life of a woman named Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Now, I want to put this in proper context, because without it, we won't fully appreciate what's going on in this narrative. The chapter opens up with a time reference that helps us put the story in its historical setting. Verse 1 states, in the day of the judges, when the judges ruled. Now, you might just skim over that and say, okay, this is taking place in the day of the judges, when the judges ruled. But many biblical scholars define the days of judges as a time of darkness. In other words, Israel was in a dark age of their history. A quick look at the book of Judges states that the Israelites, when they conquered the promised land, they didn't completely clear the land of all of their enemies, thinking that they pushed them back far enough. And so their borders were secure. They figured that, you know what, they had no worries about a future threat from the individuals. But as you read further, things begin to change. Judges chapter 17 says, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. Now, just think of that one verse. They had no king, and they realized everybody around them had a king, but they didn't. They didn't realize that God was their king. And so they did as they saw fit. What a difference from when Joshua crossed the Jordan into the promised land. He and the Israelites, in the beginning, God was their king, and they put God first. And you remember, I'm assuming you all know this quote from Joshua. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because God is king. We don't need an earthly king. We have a king. But after Joshua's death, the people lost sight of that original loyalty when they first set up their government and so forth. And so they turned to their own ways as they saw fit. They intermingled with their foes. They even began to worship foreign gods, the gods of the other people that they intermingled with. And this, unfortunately, is the backdrop of the book of Ruth. They were living in the dark ages of Israel. And so the first five verses of our text this morning tells us that there was a great famine in the land. Now, it was a real, it wasn't figurative, there was a famine in the land. But I also believe there was a spiritual famine as well. And because of the scarcity of provisions, we're told that Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left their home in Bethlehem in Judah, and they went to Moab because they thought there were more provision there than in Judah itself. Now, Moab, today we know, is modern-day Jordan. And I've been to Jordan several times, and that's where they went. And eventually the two sons married Moabites, Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. But over a span, listen to this, you talk about somebody that's been hit broadside, over a span of 10 years, not only would Naomi's two sons die, but she would also lose her husband. Three deaths, leaving the three women as widows. Now, a little cultural context here. Now, of course, we don't live like this anymore, but, you know, you really have to go back in the historical setting to appreciate what's going on. Widows were persons in society who were left with no provider and no provision. And if they didn't have a son, apart from their grief and losses, mind you, two sons and a husband, these three women were very vulnerable in their culture. Times were so bad that Naomi changed her name to Mara. Think about that. Mara, it tells us in the text that was just read, means bitter. She felt that she was bitterly treated by God. And sometimes we may feel like that. You know, God, where are you? I mean, it's so horrible what I'm going through, and I feel like you're dealing with me in a bitter way, and that's the way Naomi felt. But we will soon learn to see that in due time, she would see the hand of God moving in her life once again. And so in verse 6 of our text, Naomi receives word that the Lord is blessing her former hometown of Bethlehem with provision. And she decides that it no longer makes sense to stay in Moab, Jordan, but now she says, I'm going to return to my homeland. I'm going to move back home. And when I look at this story in the state of Israel back then, what brought them to a place of famine was their stubbornness of thinking that God, Jehovah Jireh, would not be their provider. And even during their trials, they thought they could handle everything. Why is it that we often exhaust ourselves with our own wisdom, our own intellect, our own resources, only to burn ourselves out thinking that we could handle it on our own? And then we just exhaust ourselves. Naomi would discover that God is faithful to deliver us if we would only turn to God. Turn to God. When we're going through those trials, when we're going through those difficult times, when we're in the midst of those storms, turn to God. In spite of her changing her name to Bitter, God still loved Naomi immeasurably. And you know what? Here's some good news. God is faithful even when we're not. God is there whether we like it or not. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. And God was there for Naomi. But in order to truly recognize his faithfulness, we have to turn to God. And we have to seek God, especially when we're going through trials. So there they were, three widowed women, basically helpless, and Naomi now is a foreigner in the land in which she was living. Naomi was a caring mother-in-law. It's obvious by the love that the two daughter-in-laws had for her. And her real concerns were for her two daughter-in-laws, realizing that if they returned to Bethlehem, they would now be foreigners in Judah, and they would be treated as outsiders. And so she encourages them, go back to your people. And she goes through a whole litany. Is it possible at this age for me to have sons that you could marry? And even if I got pregnant today, would you wait for those sons to grow up to marry them? Go home. Go back to your people. Now, the two of them initially argue with Naomi, and they say, no, you know, because they loved this woman. She must have been a tremendous mother-in-law. But eventually, in verse 10, Orpah gives up, and she says, okay, I'll return to my people. She decides to return home to her people and her gods, and no doubt, while she was married to Naomi's son, a Hebrew man, she was introduced to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as I read this passage, I asked myself, at times, are we any different than Orpah? Think about that. We believe in and we serve Jesus Christ with all of our hearts, but when things begin to challenge us and get difficult, sometimes we return to bad habits, bad behavior. And I'm not talking about terrible, sinful behavior. Just we lose sight that God is with us, Emmanuel. We kiss off Jesus. We go back to serving idols. And I'm not talking about idol gods. We go back to serving the stock market. Who knows? I could come up with a million idols that people engage themselves in when we once served Christ with all of our hearts. How many times do we turn back after hitting hard times? How many times do we begin to wane in our faith when the challenges come our way? But we witness an important turning point in this entire story. Naomi's other daughter-in-law, Ruth, decides to stay with Naomi. She wins the battle, the fight with her mother-in-law. She had a deep conviction about the God of her mother-in-law as being the one true God. And then she says these beautiful words. And by the way, Myung-cha and I, one time when we were in Israel, we ordered rings with this inscription around it in Hebrew. And it says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. That's powerful. And that's what Ruth said to her mother-in-law. Wherever you're going, I'm going. Wherever you stay, I'm going to stay with you. And your God's going to be my God. And so our text says that Ruth didn't casually trail along with her mother-in-law. She clung to Naomi. She clung to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just as Ruth resolved to cling to Naomi and her God, that is what God desires of us and our relationship with God, especially when we're going through difficult times like today. To cling to God, not just casually touch upon God when things are going well, but to cling to God. Friends, we're living in a time where there's a famine in this land, the United States of America. There's high unemployment. Businesses are going into foreclosure. Hey, just drive down Patchogue. See the number of stores that are out of business and boarded up. This is real. Retirement portfolios are shrinking. distrust in our government. Our government is so divided between us and them, blue and red. These are difficult times, like I've never seen in my lifetime. Terrorism is not only outside of our borders, but it is obvious by recent events, terrorism is even going on inside our borders. COVID-19 is running rampant. I watch the numbers every day, and I notice the numbers are going up and up and up. Suffolk County has the highest numbers of positive COVID cases in the entire state of New York. And there are no vaccines in the foreseeable future. People are traveling 600 miles to get their shots. Read Newsday this morning, and it tells you about people leaving the island to travel upstate New York to get their inoculations. And in the midst of it all, God is asking for us to cling to Him and trust in Him in spite of all of these things that are going on around us. Listen, these past 9-10 months, almost a year now, has been the biggest trial that many people have ever faced in their entire lives. And so our first chapter ends with Naomi and Ruth returning to Bethlehem, the house of bread, Bethlehem, house, bread, the very birthplace of King David, and a millennium later, the birthplace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ruth and Naomi were moving in faith in uncertain times. These were uncertain times back then, 3,000 years ago, but they were stepping out in faith. And God was beginning to set the two of them up for their destiny. He was preparing them to witness His mighty hand at work because of a mustard seed of faith by a Moabite woman named Ruth, who would eventually, by the way, become the great-grandmother of King David. And she would be included in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Moabite woman, the widow, the one who clung to Naomi and her God, would play such a pivotal and important role in the whole gospel event that would eventually bring about the Savior of the world. We too are troubled by uncertain times. Where will we choose to place our faith? That's the real challenge this morning in this message. Will we put our place in the stock market that saw craziness this past week? Will we put our faith in government when at times it seems like they can't even get out of their own way because there's so much bickering? Will we place it in the courts? Or will we place it in God? The God that Ruth put her faith in. You know, Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments." 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ is faithful." God is faithful in good times, in bad, and everything in between. When Thessalonica was going through their trials and uncertainty, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled in their trials." Do you feel unsettled this morning with everything that's going on? He says you will be strengthened, encouraged in your faith so no one would be unsettled in these trials. You know, when I served in the New York City Police Department, there were a number of radio codes that we communicated with each other and with Central. You know, there was a code for everything, a burglary in progress, a sick person in need of care. But the one code that stood out from all the others was a 1013, which meant there was another police officer in trouble. Whatever you were doing, no matter where you were, you dropped everything and you responded to that call. Perhaps some of you are troubled this morning. I have moments when I'm troubled, when I start to wonder, what the heck is going on? Well, maybe some of you feel that way this morning, and you almost want to change your name to Mara, bitter, like Naomi did. You need to call a Christian Signal 1013, believer in trouble. Let me read 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I'm going to end with this. Listen to this. This is our 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. Remember that, church. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you could bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you could stand up under it. When we're tempted to throw in the towel, when we're tempted to give up, when we're tempted to change our name to Mara and say, I'm bitter because the whole world is against me, nothing's going right. When you're ready to collapse under the pressure, God gives us a way out. God gives us a way to stand up. So hopefully this morning we realize that God is still at work. And He's still working in each of us, just as He worked in Naomi and Ruth. And it's His desire to meet us where we are right now in the trial that you might be facing this day, that you might be facing right now, and move us into a place of destiny, just as He did for Naomi and Ruth. All He wants for us to do is to step out as they did and move forward in faith, even in these uncertain times that we're facing in this generation. Embrace it, church. It's real. God is faithful, and He won't allow you to slip and fall. Amen.